Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Welcome to this service of Holy Eucharist for the 18th week after Pentecost. A warm welcome to those of you who are joining us online this morning. Those of you listening to the service online have noticed that you can hear perhaps more people talking during the service or coughing. Please do note that this is due to the fact that we now have live people in the service. During our initial recordings, there were no parishioners in the church, which was why the recordings were so very quiet. However, we now have an in-person gathering for each recorded service, so you are bound to hear various human noises, such as talking and the clearing of throats and occasional coughing. So please be assured that everyone is screened upon entering the church, and so far we've been a very safe and healthy bunch. Thanks be to God. Before we begin our service today, I have a few announcements for you. Remembering our loved ones, our All Souls service of Holy Eucharist is scheduled for Sunday, October 25th. To register the name or names of your departed loved ones, please submit them to the office before Friday, October 16th. And for those of you listening online this morning, please note that the drive-through prayer event and blessing of pets is scheduled for this morning, October 4th, following the 10 a.m. service. Please bring your pet and your canned food with you for Harvest Thanksgiving. Cars will be lining up for prayer between 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. in the church parking lot. We'll see you there. The 8 a.m. service. After careful consideration and prayer, the corporation has made the decision that the 8 a.m. service of Holy Communion will not resume until further notice, in light of the fact that COVID numbers continue to climb, combined with the lack of human resources available to run the audio-visual equipment in the early service. We'll continue for now with our Wednesday and Sunday 10 a.m. services. I'm going to ask Diane to step forward now and provide us with an announcement. A little more information on the audiovisual tech component.
Good morning. Times are a-changing. COVID has changed us all, and St. Tim has to follow suit. One of the ways we are seeking to strengthen our community is by learning to adapt to new ways of doing church. Through our online services, we are reaching more people than ever before. By using PowerPoint instead of bulletins, we are seeking to become even better stewards by greening the church, reducing our footprints on the environment, and limiting ways COVID can be contracted by limiting our use of paper bulletins and books. At this point, the corporation would like to take the step forward and apply for a REACH grant to equip our church with LCD panels as monitors, which would provide better picture quality, easier for our seniors and those with visible disabilities, and in order to eliminate the projector and unsightly wire surrounding our current setup. In phase two, we will be asking for a PTZ camera. I don't know what that means, but I know it's a camera. Which pans, tilts, and zooms with 20 times optical zoom so that we can provide YouTube videos on all our services connected to our current audio system. The grant is for a possible $5,000, with additional monies being supplied through a designated fund. The wardens invite your questions, thoughts, and suggestions as we move forward with the application process. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diane. That's really helpful. And a step in the right direction, I think, for us as a parish. I now invite you to take a few moments to prepare your hearts for worship this morning.
Meditations of mine.
I invite you to stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us offer a prayer for our families and young children this morning. Loving Father of us all, we lift up our families in this COVID time. Calm their anxious fears and protect them, Lord. Whether our children are at school or learning at home, may they have minds eager to learn and to grow. Please continue to bless Elaine as she leads our children in Zoom on Sunday school mornings and youth on Friday evenings. Thank you for the communities our young people have been creating with the children and teens of both St. Timothy's Agincourt and North Toronto, through Jesus Christ, our brother, friend, and our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated for our first reading?
A reading from the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witness the thunder and the lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 19. To the leader, a psalm of David. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from his heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me, that I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in him, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and leave the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In my former years of service at St. Hilda's Anglican Church and retirement residence, Part of my work there as assistant director and priest was to manage 12 residential properties off-site. It wasn't a task I particularly enjoyed, but it was part of the portfolio of running the towers and the Lewis Garnsworthy residence. The Landlord and Tenant Act was something that I referred to on a daily basis. I think that in relation to today's gospel text, it's fair to say that any halfway decent real estate agent or commercial property manager could probably explain this parable from Matthew in 2 seconds flat. It's all about landlords and tenants, after all. And as we know, there's an entire body of business law devoted to them and their many and ongoing disputes. But let's take a moment to quickly review the story again. A vineyard owner contracts with tenants for the use of his land and then promptly leaves town for another country. And at harvest time, the same landowner sends his slaves or his agents back to the vineyard to collect the rent, his share of the harvest, in this case, from the tenants. But the tenants decide to take matters into their own hands. Apparently, hoping to secure the property for themselves, they beat the first slave, they kill the second, and they stone the third. And then they do it all over again, finally killing off even the landowner's son in the hopes of somehow gaining his inheritance. So all in all, a really pleasant tale of greed, mayhem, violence, and murder. Now, at the very least, the landowner in question, we might be tempted to think, ought to have done a more thorough background check before renting out his vineyard, the very source of his livelihood, to the scoundrels who end up murdering his slaves and his son. Surely, even in the ancient world, people knew who was trustworthy and who was not. Word got around, after all, even before the world went completely online. And then the obvious question arises, why did they do it? The tenants had to have been fairly bright men, or they wouldn't have gone into the agribusiness in the first place. We all know it's not an easy way to make a living. Did they really think that they could get away with it? That they could get away with murder? Apparently. The greed got in the way of their common sense and reason. It's not the first time such a thing has ever happened, nor is it likely to be the last. The point of the story seems so obvious to those listening to the parable that they leap to it without a moment's hesitation. The landowner, they declare in moral outrage, will put those wretches to a miserable death and leave the vineyard to the other tenants. The news these days is sadly still full of just such parables of greed and corruption. We know them all too well. Many of our economical problems are due to rampant materialism and greed. It's the way that we do business on the backs of those less fortunate. And millions have suffered the consequences as a result. So yes, some people clearly do still think they can get away with it. And some indeed do. The world hasn't changed all that much since Jesus told this parable. Now we might conclude that it simply does not pay to be an absentee landlord. Better to stay home, lock the door, mind the store. After all, there's no place like home. Surely that is where one can always feel safe and secure. Maybe so. But try telling that to someone whose mortgage is upside down or underwater and is likely to remain so for some time to come. And what about the many who've lost their jobs or been laid off since COVID began? Let's face it, even security at home is sometimes an illusion. The parable, of course, is about us as much as it is about thieves, about us as much as it is about the chief priests and the Pharisees who come to recognize themselves in Jesus' words. Now, I suppose the priests and the Pharisees deserve even just a little bit of credit, if not for their actions, then for their insight into their own motivations. They want to arrest Jesus for his words and be rid of him. They knowingly wish to neutralize his potent message of God's righteousness and kingdom. But what they do not know is what we sometimes forget, is that this cannot be done. No matter where we live or what we have, we are all no more than tenants in God's kingdom. Nothing ever truly belongs to us. In the final analysis, everything that we have has been lent to us. Just think about it for a moment. Everything is borrowed for a time. As the old saying has it, we are living on borrowed time, quite literally. Like the priests and the Pharisees of this narrative, we too might wish the world were different. That tenants were owners and servants masters, but it's not so. The landowner says mistakenly, "They will respect my son," as he decides to send his child as emissary after his slaves are beaten and killed. In the words of Dr. Phil, who you'll remember, seriously, what was he thinking? If only the landowner had gone to his parish priest, he might have been set right. "Do not send your son," he would have been told in no uncertain terms. "Call the police, report the incident, begin eviction proceedings, get back home." All good advice, to be sure. But it's doubtful the landowner would have followed even his beloved pastor's counsel. For the landowner's economy is not of this world. Perhaps it's just as well. He knows something that we tend to overlook. That in the end, it is not a matter of land or property rights, or wealth, possessions, or ownership. For a follower of Christ, it is ultimately not even a question of life and death. It is only the kingdom that matters, a kingdom most decidedly not of this world. The kingdom of God, Jesus says in explanation of the story, will be given to a people that produce the fruit of the kingdom. And the fruit of the kingdom of which Jesus speaks has nothing to do with grain or grapes or dollars or cents. And if we miss that, then we miss the point of this lesson entirely. We miss the kingdom at work in our own lives. Can others see Jesus living in us? Through our actions, through our thoughts, in the words that we say, is it obvious that we are disciples who are producing fruit? For the kingdom is, in fact, ours, but only to the extent that we give in turn to others all that has been so generously given to us. For it is in serving God's kingdom and bearing fruit that God's tenants finally become faithful and trusted landlords. Amen. I invite you to stand as we confess the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now pray for the church and the world.
The Christian church is the vineyard of the Lord, with all its gifts, its needs, and its problems, growing the grapes, making the wine, managing the Lord's work. Let us pray to the Lord of the vineyard, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. In response to the invocation, let us pray to the Lord. Father, as we gather for worship, may we acknowledge that before us and our ancestors, there were other peoples living on this land. This day, September the 30th, will in future be recognized by the federal government as the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Let us pray, therefore, that we might seek greater understanding of the troubled history of the relations between the indigenous peoples and those who settled this country, recognizing that this land was once occupied and cared for by many generations of the Huron-Wendat, the Haudenosaunee, the Mississauga, and Chippewa peoples. Let us try to learn from them to care for and pass on this land to all our descendants. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Elizabeth, our queen, for the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority, that they may be just and honorable in their dealings with one another, and that all our elected officials may respond to the needs of their community and serve the common good, and that they may rise above partisanship and make decisions based on the needs and aspirations of our country. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That there may be peace in the whole world, praying especially for peace and healing in the Holy Land, to Jews, Muslims, and Christians, for an end to the strife and violence in the long-running civil war in Syria, and for healing among the factions contending for power in Lebanon, the welfare of the Holy Church of God around the world, and for the unity of all Christian people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That there may be relief from the scourge of COVID-19, that people who have been infected may recover their health, and that those who live with them or care for them may have the knowledge and the fortitude to deal with this pandemic. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the leaders of the church across the world may be ingenious and tireless in preaching the good news and continue in witness and service to those in need of God's grace. Holding these petitions in mind, we pray in the Anglican Cycle of Prayer for the Anglican Church of Tanzania and the Diocese of Abuhada in Nigeria, their bishops and their clergy and people. In Canada, the Diocese of British Columbia, the bishop-elect, the Reverend Anna Greenwood Lee, and the clergy and people of that diocese, and for the congregations of the Lower Mainland region of the British Columbia Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. In our diocese, the parishes of St. Margaret Wilberforce and All Saints Sherburn Street and its community center. In our deanery, our near neighbor, the Church of St. Andrew, the Reverend Canon Donald Butler, the incumbent, and the clergy and people of that parish. In the Scarborough Ministerial Association, the parish of St. Matthew the Apostle, Oriel, the Reverend Lisa Newland, the incumbent, and the clergy and people of that parish. In our outreach ministries, the Anglican Appeal, and additionally, for the Toronto Christ Gospel Church, the Agent Community Services Association, the Rehab Network of Canada, and the music group, Cruisin'. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord,
hear our prayer.
That our bishops Andrew and Kevin, our Metropolitan Anne, our Primate Linda, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin, and our own clergy, Andrea, Kathy, and Elaine, and we, the people of St. Timothy's, may be witnesses to Christ and minister to the needs of our world and to the needs of our community. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the peace of the Lord may lift from our suffering world its burdens of anxiety, war, violence, oppression, poverty, and disease, and that God's grace will give life and comfort to all in need. Remembering particularly the people of California, Oregon, and Washington affected by the terrible wildfires, and those people across our world afflicted by the ravages of climate change, particularly those in Africa, and those people for whom our prayers have been asked. Alan, Betty, Noel, John, Lucas, Robbie, Tuesday, Jerome, Joseph, Eleanor, Louise, Terry, Bob, and any others whose names you may mention or whom you may hold in your heart. In our parish cycle of prayer, we remember Cicely, Linda, Sylvia, and Clarence, Reginald, and Pamela. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we remember with thanksgiving all who have died, especially Nancy Forfar, who died this past week, and remembering in our own parish the loved ones of Sheila Martin and of Bob and Kathy Saunders, and we ask that they may have rest with God and with all the saints and those who have died in the hope of resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, with one accord, to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
My dear friends, in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? Peace of the Lord be always with you. God of truth, receive all we offer you this day. Make us worthy servants, strong to follow in the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turn against you and we betray your trust. We turn against one another. Again and again you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night that he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed. That we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet that you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, and all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." "I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace."
Consecrated, Lord, to thee, take my mind.
Would you please stand as we pray? Almighty God, may we who have been strengthened by this Eucharist remain in your steadfast love and show in our lives the saving mystery that we celebrate. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and your families this week. Amen.
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. While we remain seated and in reflection, we'll listen to our final hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King.